Please and turn to Luke 22. Luke 22. And we'll look in verses 31 and 32. Looking tonight at prayer. Caring is praying. Caring is praying. Luke 22, 31 and 32. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Luke 22:31. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have what? Prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, the Lord is not talking here about Peter's faith failing him in the matter of salvation. That's settled. But it's in a matter of service, of continuing to serve the Lord. Verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen who? Thy brethren." You know, we face sometimes such trials, and people always have the question, why? Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, obviously, we don't know all the reasons why we face trials, and we don't know all the reasons why the Shoals are facing such trials right now. But we know one reason that God allows us to go through trials is for this reason. Let's look at verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of what? All comfort." So one reason God allows us to go through trials is that we might see his great comfort to us. And then verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort" who? "Them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So, you know, when you've been through something, you can comfort someone better. Us guys are not too much comfort, really, to our wives when they're going through labor. We've been through labor, but a whole different kind. Okay, we labor, we work, but it's hard for us to really associate much. And you know, you think of maybe you've had a bout with a type of cancer, and so when someone else has cancer, then you can be a comfort to that person. But to someone who hasn't been through that, down that road, we don't really know what it's like. But we do have the comfort of God. So sometimes God allows us to go through trials. So back in Luke 22, 32, Jesus told Peter, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Pastor Jeremy, we were talking to him last night, and he was relating to us about a Hispanic woman who their family has faced a great, great trial, and a missing daughter. And this mother was so distraught that I guess she sought to someone for divination to try to find their daughter. And that reminds me so much of King Saul. When God wouldn't answer him, who did he go to? A witch. The witch at Endor. So when Jesus said to Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You never know exactly how people are going to respond. We never know how we are going to respond to situations, so we have to walk humbly with God. So Jesus is praying for Peter. He knows Peter's going to go through a great, great trial of denying him, and that he's going to need some help. So Jesus is praying for him. If you notice in verse 55, Luke 22, 55, we'll read 55 through 62. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he what? Denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, what? I am not. But about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, what? I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and what? Wept bitterly. You know, when we make mistakes, when we fail, we feel so lousy, don't we? And Peter wept bitterly when thinking about what had happened. So Satan's first victory is getting people to fall. Satan would love to try to get us to fall into sin. So our faith, we're not talking about faith for salvation, but now faith to be steadfast. Notice in 1 Peter 5, in verse 8, 1 Peter 5:8, and we'll also read verse 9. So we need to be aware of what is going on. 1 Peter 5:8, casting all, well, that's verse 7, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in what? The faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect. And then what? Establish. And then what? Strengthen. And then what? Settle you. That's the type of faith I'm talking about. The faith to keep going. The first thing, obviously, we have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and return from our sin to him. And he does the saving. But after that, it still takes a life of faith. Not going back and trying to get saved again. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about continuing to serve God. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved what? This present world. That's what I'm talking about. If we lose sight of God's reward for us, there's so many shipwrecked people in this world. So we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Verse 9, Whom resists steadfast in the faith? That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes Christians can get to the point where they're so discouraged that they feel like, what does it matter if I sin? Nothing is going right anyway. I'm facing this trial and that trial. And you know, I've tried to serve God, but you know, our family's still getting sick, or I'm trying to serve God and this problem or this tragedy happens. And if a person is not careful, they think, what's the use? What does it matter if I sin or not? My life seems like a wreck anyway. Notice in Hebrews 11, that is when we need faith to keep on going, keep on obeying the Lord, even though we don't understand what all is taking place. In Hebrews 11:6, but without what? Faith. It is impossible to please him, referring to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, so that's faith, to believe that he is and come to him for salvation, and that he is, that God is a what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we get to the point, hopefully we don't do that, but when a person gets to the point of just throwing in the towel and say, oh, what does it matter if I sin? That's when they're forgetting that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is where their faith needs to be strengthened, right there. Consider Moses. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 11:24-27. Verse 24, by what? Faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to what? Suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he had faith to make a choice. He could continue to be Pharaoh's daughter and enjoy all the wealth and the parties and the pleasures. But no, verse 25, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ, what? Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is what?
Invisible.
Seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, that is talking about faith then. You go back to verse 1, Hebrews 11:1. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, that's all about faith, because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. So when Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible, that is faith, the evidence of things not seen. So this shows his faith. So Satan will try to discourage a Christian and get us to fall. Number two, Satan then has his second victory when other Christians will not forgive the fallen one who has repented. Along with there, Satan gets his second victory when other Christians will not forgive the fallen one who has repented. Notice in Psalm 38, and verse 17. Psalm 38:17. There are so many times in marriages where at first you'll have one mate that has wronged the other mate. And so it's hard many times to get that one who has wronged the other mate to repent. And then sometimes you get that one to repent, and then the other mate says, whether they say it or not, they probably will say it, they're not going to forgive them. So it's like, well, look at Psalm 38, 17. It says, "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare what? Mine iniquity. I will be sorry for what? My sin." You get someone to that point, and then you have another Christian that will not forgive that person. It's like, oh my. Notice in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4:32. The Bible says, "And be ye what? Kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for who? Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Can you imagine what heaven would be like if Christ hadn't forgiven us of all of our sins? But he would let us into heaven, but he never promised to forget our sins. Can you imagine what it'd be like in all eternity? Some days you pass the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe in the heavenly city, and he says, "Hey, Mike, do you remember that day you did this?" You know, how many times do I have to hear that? Aren't you glad that when he forgives, he forgets our sins? He forgets them. I can't imagine what heaven would be like if our sins were constantly thrown against us. It wouldn't be too much like heaven, would it? Notice in 2 Corinthians 2 in verse 6. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to what? Forgive him. And what? Comfort him. Now you know you've really forgiven someone when you can comfort them. I mean sincerely. When you can see the turmoil in their heart because of the brokenness of their sin, and you can actually comfort that person. That goes back to Ephesians 4:32, being tender-hearted. So that contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him. Why? Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch what? Sorrow. You see, if Satan gets us to fall, and then we come to repentance, but no one will forgive us, or maybe certain ones won't forgive us, it's like he said here, such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now, verse 11. Remember what I said? Satan will try his best to get us to fall. And then if we repent, then he'll try his best to get someone to not forgive us. Verse 11. Lest who? Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So he chooses out one, you know, animals like wolves and other vicious animals will try to pick out the weakest. Maybe they're a deer. You know, the wolf is probably not going to go after the biggest buck with the biggest horns like a hunter. The wolf is probably going to go after the fawn, or the smallest one, or the one that isn't running the fastest, just the last one. Probably go after that deer. And so Satan goes after someone to try to get him to fall, and then he tries to get others around him not to forgive. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. He doesn't care who he destroys. He doesn't care. He'll destroy anyone he can. So when it comes up, we are praying for so many people right now who are hurting so bad, facing such great trials. So we need to pray for them that their faith fail not. If they're truly born again, I'm not talking about praying for them lest they lose their salvation. They can't lose their salvation because it depends on Jesus' righteousness, not our own. But we need to pray for people to be encouraged that their faith does not fail, just like Jesus prayed for Peter. Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Number two, we need to pray in full faith and in full submission to the perfect will of God. I'll say that one again. Pray in full faith and in full submission to the perfect will of God. What do I mean by that? I mean by that, number one, God can do anything. Pray in full faith. God can do anything. Never doubt that. Notice in Luke chapter 1. Let us not think that God's hand is shortened, that it cannot save. He can do anything. Luke 1:37. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. So let's not get to the point where we're so disillusioned that we think, oh, well, this is beyond even the help of God. Nothing is beyond the help of God. Notice in Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything, what? Too hard for me? And the answer is what? No, there's nothing too hard for God. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Jeremiah 32:27, is there anything too hard for me? No. So we need to pray in full faith. Can God heal all these loved ones we're praying for? Of course he can. With absolutely no problem at all. Notice in chapter 33 here, Jeremiah 33. It says, God says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, what? Which thou knowest not. I was praying that yesterday. My wife and I was out and going door to door, and I was just praying that prayer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He just kept praying it. I wasn't even asking for anything specific. Lord, show me great and mighty things which I don't know. Show me. Show me, Lord. Because he can do those things. And then I was thinking about all of our people and missionaries suffering. Then I got down to verse 6. Behold, I will bring it, what? Health and cure. And I will cure them. And will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. So when we pray, God wants us to pray in full faith. None of these things are too hard for God. Absolutely not. Nothing. There's no sickness that God cannot heal. None whatsoever. So we need to pray in full faith. And then the last half of that. And in full submission to God's perfect will. So praying not in doubt, like, oh, this is too hard for God. No. But also praying at the same time in full submission to the perfect will of God. Like Jesus himself did. Notice Matthew 26 again. Matthew 26, praying in full faith and in full submission. Matthew 26, and let's read 36 through 39. Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, what? Not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he prayed that three times. He prayed. And some may think, well, I thought Jesus came for this specific person to die, purpose, to die for us. Yes, he did. Then why was he asking the Father if it be possible that this cup would pass from him? Well, if we were perfect, which we are so far from it, we can't imagine what it would be like. But if we were absolutely perfect, imagine taking upon ourselves the sin of this world, the vile, wicked, wretched sin of this world. That'd be a horrible thought to someone who is truly holy, to take upon himself the sin of the world. How could he pray anything other than this way? He would have to pray this way. It was not enjoyable at all. Being holy, the Bible says he suffered in that he was tempted. He didn't enjoy sin. He suffered from being tempted. Notice also in Matthew 6. So we need to pray in full faith. Let's not doubt. There is no cancer beyond God's healing power. There is no any kind of trouble. There's no heart trouble that's beyond God's power. Nothing. So let's pray in full faith. And yet we must pray in full submission to God's perfect will, because, like in the case of Lazarus, his sisters, Mary and Martha, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lazarus' death was for the glory of God, and of course Jesus raised him from the dead, which proves that nothing is beyond God's power to do. But in Matthew 6 and verse 9, Jesus said, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done where? In earth as it is where? In heaven. All of our prayers should be in full faith and in the same token, in full submission. Lord, may thy perfect will be done. May thy perfect will be done. And Jesus gave us that prayer, full faith. The Lord could take that cup away. He could reduce all the Romans and the high priest to ashes in a moment and release Jesus, but he prayed in full submission. And that's what we find in Daniel chapter 3 as well. We have three men facing the death sentence by being cast into the flames. And we have that perfect combination in their reply. Full faith, and yet full submission to the perfect will of God. Daniel 3:17 and verse 18. Verse 17, If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is what? Is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They were very clear. Their God, our God, is able to deliver us from any burning fiery furnace that comes along of any sort. And they go on, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. King, there's no doubt in our minds that God, our God, can deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. No problem with him. But verse 18, But what? If not. But King, if not, if it's God's perfect will for us to go to be with him right now, that's okay too. We don't doubt his power for a moment. He could deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we what? Will not serve thy God. You see, that's the faith we are talking about to begin with. Jesus praying for Peter. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Right here. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Their faith failed not. Our God can deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. But if his perfect will is not to at this time and allow us to go home to heaven, we just want you to know that our faith is still firmly in God, and we will not worship your false gods, not your images. And so may we pray for these dear ones all around us going through suffering, such trials. May we pray for them that their faith fail not, that they don't get discouraged, that they don't get to a point where they feel like God has forsaken them. Let's pray for them that their faith fail not, like Jesus prayed for Peter. And let's be faithful. So many people need our prayers. Let's not let them down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we do lift up our loved ones here and on the mission field right now. Many have great and sore trials upon them. We pray for them, Lord, that their faith fail not. Not in regard to salvation. We know that that's settled. But Lord, we're talking about their faith continuing to serve you in whatever way that you allow them. And Lord, we pray in full faith and full submission, Lord. We know that all of these situations you could heal. It's absolutely no problem with you at all. But Lord, we also pray in full submission to your will. Lord, we are like Solomon when he said, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And Lord, it doesn't matter how old we are. We're still like little children. We don't know your perfect will. We have to rest on you. And in all these situations, we have full confidence that you can bring healing. And we also have full confidence in your perfect will, that you will do that which is good and right. So, Father, have your way. We ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to 404. 404. Well, as we see,